Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That word hallowed means to be holy. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What are we asked to do in the Lord's Prayer?
First, acknowledge who he is.
Acknowledge who he is? What else? Hint, our topic is forgiveness, so we're going to skip down to that verse. What are we asked to forgive?
To forgive as we've been forgiven.
Yeah. And what are the things that we're told to ask forgiveness for?
All the bad stuff that we do something wrong sometimes, yeah. Or whatever it is, God will show you and he'll help you through to do what's right and not wrong.
Very good.
Forgive everyone else.
And forgive everyone else. So we're asked to forgive our debts. What's another word for debt?
Sin.
Sin, what?
Transgressions
is in the King James. Yep, our transgressions, our sin, our debt. We also want to key in on this word debt because there, I think later on in our conversation we're going to realize that it plays a big part in this conversation. What is a debt? Something owed. Very good. So as we go through this, we are to forgive whom?
People that owe us.
People that owe us. People who have sinned against us. People who have been mean and hateful and unkind. Is that easy? When we look at this idea of what God has given to us, he's given us this gift, and that's the section that we're in this book. It's a section called forgiveness, and this is a gift. So how do we get a gift out of something that we have to do, right? Well, let's continue looking. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 25 through 28, please. Crystal is. Yep.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live."
Okay. The remainder of this conversation between he and this young
lawyer,
is the Good Samaritan story. You know, where the Good Samaritan, the person got beaten up and three people walked by and it was finally the Samaritan who stopped and talked. We don't really want to focus on that as much, although it is important. But for our conversation this evening, we're talking about what is the question I want to start with is, what is the summary of the Old Testament that's given?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind, and then love your neighbor.
Okay. And so love seems to be the whole thing there, right? It doesn't say obey. He doesn't say anything else. He says love. What was Jesus' response to that? He said, you're right. That's exactly what the summary of the Old Testament is. I realize we're asking some very simple questions, but we don't want to gloss over the fact of and just dive in without understanding truly what the basic is, right? So the question that I have out of this, because we've talked about forgiveness, Jesus's question was very pointed and his answer was very direct. And what is the cause of, if this lawyer, what did Jesus say? You've answered correctly. Do this and what?
You will live.
What does that mean?
If you obey the law.
If you obey the law, you live, right? When Jesus is talking, is there anything that jumps out at you as we're talking about this idea of forgiveness? Is there something that may jump out to you that asks you this question, what is our biggest debt or sin that Jesus is pointing out here?
Forgiving others as he forgave us.
Yeah. There is that. But in this particular passage that we're looking at, we're going to get to that one. But in this particular passage in Luke chapter 10, what is the big takeaway here? What's our biggest debt that we owe?
Loving the Lord.
As we look back at, loving the Lord. As we look back at the five men of the first part of this book, in the middle of the book, we looked at the five events of Christ. What was the biggest mess up that the children of Israel had all throughout the Old Testament?
Hardness. They kept straying away from God. They kept turning away.
Yes.
Even when he provided manna for them.
Correct.
And Judges and Deuteronomy and all that.
Right.
They would go to him, and then Samuel had to bring him, then Isaiah, Joshua, Abraham, Moses, they'd all come back, and then they'd eventually leave. And all those that God put in charge couldn't take anymore. They were starting to be a little upset with God, too.
Yeah.
But they didn't stray away. They're just like, why did you put me in charge of these people?
Yeah, very good. It's a good another summary of the Old Testament, isn't it? I think Jesus's point is the point of the Old Testament was the fact that the children of Israel were supposed to love God, pay attention, solely, exclusively, and uniquely worshiping God. And they failed all the time. One of their biggest debts that they owe is to love God. And I wouldn't say it's a sin, but maybe something for us to talk about. Is it a sin to not love God? Yeah, he's commanded us to do that, right? He's commanded us to walk with me solely, wholly, committed, right?
It could be considered disobedience, which...
Correct. So if we're not loving God, we're being disobedient. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a sin.
I think if you look at the Ten Commandments as a whole, the first six commandments tell you to honor God.
That's right.
The last four tell you to honor man.
Doesn't God show mercy to those that never heard of him? You know, like indigenous tribes and wars that have no technology, no...
Yeah, there is some grace that God has to figure out and some mercy, but ultimately they still have the sun and the moon and the stars. They have the same thing that every single other person who was created on earth got to see.
I know, I was just meaning like there's no one out there going to them.
Right. But they still can see God in creation.
Yeah.
Right? We talked about that in faith when we went through the book of Hebrews. When we looked at Enoch and people like that, seeing God through creation, they knew there was something else. And that was attributed to them as faith, because they looked to God. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 1.
Chapter what?
1. So in the last chapter, in the last passage that we looked at, we just saw that Jesus said, or the lawyer said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor. And God said, or Jesus said, that that's exactly right. That's what you need to do. We are to be loving God completely. And if we haven't been loving God, then we've sinned. And sometimes we find that difficult to swallow, right? It's hard to say, well, not loving is a sin. But I think it is, because it's being disobedient. So let's read 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10.
Oh, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness has passed away and the true light is already shining.
Okay. 1 John?
Yeah, 1 John.
1, 9.
No, that's 2. This is chapter 2.
Yeah, go to verse 1, or chapter 1, verse
there we go, right
9
there.
Through 10.
Sorry.
Or 8 through 10.
Oh, you want me to say that?
Yes, please.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us.
Okay. Just a couple of simple questions. If we say we have no sin, what are we saying?
God's a liar.
That God's a liar. Do we want to say that God's a liar?
Dangerous to say.
That's pretty out there to say, isn't it? In the middle of that, in verse 9, how does it describe how does it describe forgiveness?
Cleansing from all unrighteousness.
Yeah, there's some key words there, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Cleansing from all. What does all mean?
All of them.
All of them. Everything. Past, present, and future. Doesn't mean we only ask forgiveness once. No. We continually have to ask forgiveness for the things that we do in our life.
Amen.
But we are saved once. Right. So we have to ask, what is the challenge to us and what is the benefit of this whole gift of forgiveness? We've seen what it is, what it does, where it goes, how we use it. I think in this room it's not something that we have to explain in depth and in detail. But it's good for us to understand the basics, because when we move over to the next part, which is Ephesians chapter 4, so in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at several characteristics and attitudes and behaviors that Paul is insisting that we change in our life. And I'll just tell you right up front, my argument to this, my point to all of this, is that when we take on an attitude of forgiveness and love, again, I want to, it is healthy for us. It's healthy for us physically, it's healthy for us mentally, and it's healthy for us as a whole in our body. Having an attitude of forgiveness, which only comes from the Holy Spirit, which only comes from God's love indwelling in us. We are not naturally forgiving people, right? Catch me on a bad day, right? Catch anyone on a bad day. We are not naturally forgiving people. And it's hard to ask forgiveness. It's hard to forgive, right? It's one of those difficult things. And maybe you don't have a problem with that. Maybe you're just an easygoing person and everything's forgiven all the time. I'm very excited for you. It's challenging for me.
Yes.
Right? So let's look at Paul. And what I want us to do is I really want to, and I don't want to take away here. I want to make sure everyone understands. Are there mental health issues? Yes. That are outside of the scope of what we're talking about? Yes. But as a whole, when we take on this attitude of forgiving, we are allowing ourselves, or we are preventing ourselves from enduring a lot of tragedy in our life. We can get to that in a little bit. So let's start with chapter 4, verses 17 and 19, 17 through 19, and we're going to be asking this question, what is Paul insisting?
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Are you in chapter 4?
I'm in Corinthians.
Hey, guess what? Everybody's having this day. Everybody's having this day. That was Corinthians. That's awesome.
Exactly.
Ephesians chapter 4.
Yeah. All right.
Verse 17 through 19.
It didn't dawn on me until I flipped the page and it wasn't enough. Okay. New way of thinking.
That's right.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in vanity of their mind, having understanding darkened, being alienated from life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness.
You want to read it?
Yeah,
go ahead.
So I tell you this, and insist on this in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking, They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity that they're and they are full of greed.
Okay. Yeah. So both the King James and that's the King James, right? King James and the NIV, we've got those two definitions. So with those out there, with these verses, what is it that Paul is insisting and what is he talking about? Let's talk about who these Gentiles are, set the stage. Let's create a picture here. We've done an awful lot of history in this class, and I know that you know these history things. So
he's telling you not to live like the people that don't know God.
Right. Don't live like the people who don't know God. What else?
Don't be earthly minded. Is that your, you know, what your vision is, what your goal is? We're to live for God, not for the lust of the flesh, basically.
Yeah. So set your mind on an end point, right? Mm-hmm. Set a goal. All right. Go ahead.
I do have a thought. So I love the way Paul puts this because I was thinking earlier, I'm like, we in today's society, everything, whether you're, you can watch a movie, you can overhear a conversation, you can have an interaction with somebody, you know, waiting in line at the grocery store, whatever, especially movies nowadays, this pretty much describes it. There's no forgiveness. There's no, you know, if somebody wrongs you, the first thought that people are thinking is retaliation of some sort. No matter how big or small, it's, you know, I've got to go, they've got a vendetta, any of those, you know, big words.
Most of the movies are about revenge.
Right. And so I think it's very interesting that's all of what's, I mean, you watch a soap opera, you watch the, you know, Friday night soap operas, all of the, you know, drama filled movies that everybody thinks are the coolest things, but that's all it is that retaliation and vendetta.
God isn't in any of
and God, it, it's not in any way, shape or form, you know, what the Lord says to do. I mean literally he in those three verses he pretty much describes just about any movie or show or government right now. Even, you know, sadly enough, it can be, you know, businesses can be even like that. So it's very, as a Christian, you know, you're trying to you go to work or you watch a movie, it's completely different than what God is telling you to do. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard not to be trained to think that way when you hear that all of the time out in the society. And yet you read beautiful verses like this that, you know, God gave to Paul to write.
Yeah, very good. So we have this. Go ahead.
I kind of walked in on this last moment, but 17 through 19 there.
Correct.
He's telling them pretty much, he's affirmed together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. He's like, you are separated from this. You are different now. That's the way I look at it. You know, and the first back, it's a life without purpose. And we can easily fall into this if we're not careful. Affirm together with the Lord. That's, I really like that.
Yeah.
Testify.
Yeah. Come together, testify, work it out together with one another. So let's look at the contrast here in verses 20 through 24.
But you did not learn Christ in this way. If in fact you have if you have really heard him and have been taught by him, just as truth is in Jesus, revealed in his life and personified in him, that regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self, completely discard your former natures, in parentheses, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self, the regenerated, renewed nature, created in God's image, in the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation.
Okay. So what are we supposed to look like?
Like God.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is this, verses 20 through 24, what is this describing?
The truth is in Jesus.
Truth is in Jesus.
Putting off the old self and walk in righteousness. Walk like Jesus would walk.
Yeah.
Walk in the Spirit.
Be changed. Right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Renewed.
Mm-hmm.
There's another word. We would call it salvation. Right? This is what salvation looks like. That big word, to be saved, to be rescued, to be changed from your circumstances. So this is what we're supposed to look like.
You know, I had a kind of an awakening. It wasn't an awakening. It was a new understanding of the Spirit. When we get saved, Jesus gives us His Holy Spirit. So a non-Christian is just a soul and a body. And a Christian is a soul, a body, and a spirit. And that's the Spirit of God and Jesus. And so I don't know what made me think of it, but it's like that Spirit totally envelops our soul. So when you think of anything, that stands out, because the Holy Spirit is like a consuming fire. Mm-hmm. And so when, like, evil looks at us, or even animals look at us, they have to see that Spirit within us. And so when we walk, like when we walk in the Spirit, if we're fully acclimated to that and keep that in our mind, we can see that Spirit in us. And it's not just us anymore.
Right.
And I don't know why I see this in different. I see it within. I don't know. It's just different. I don't know how to explain it, but
the Holy Spirit is alive in a person who has trusted
all of
and believed
us. But
in
he has our soul. He's enveloped each one of us, and
yep.
He's in each one of us. And I think that to walk in the Spirit and to be mindful of this all the time, if you picture that the Holy Spirit is wrapped around your soul, inside your body, you know, you have to take that everywhere. And, you know, it really makes you more accountable, I think.
Yep.
You don't, that way you're not walking in the flesh anymore. As much as you can, you know. I mean, we all lose it, but I mean, I don't know. It just like a light bulb came on.
Yeah.
I mean, I always knew it, but I never, it just came alive for me this past week.
Something that always happens to me is like, I was just talking with Cody and him about it. Like the first thing that, like, because the Holy Spirit's referred to as the counselor. You know, so He counsels us. So, like, when I notice when I'm not walking with God, just doing whatever is okay, you know? And then, like, the first thing that God starts counseling me on is the things that I say. Like, what's coming out of my mouth, what I'm putting into my head.
Right.
You know? So, like, the music that I listen to is starting to change. Like, I'm desiring to start to listen to Christian music again,
mm-hmm.
because it glorifies God.
Right.
I'm desiring to not cuss anymore because it glorifies God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when I'm not living under the umbrella of the Holy Spirit, that doesn't happen. And it's like, as soon as I started getting more in tune with God's Spirit, you know, and it completely indwells in you,
mm-hmm.
The desires of your heart change.
Yeah.
And I like where Scripture talks about through the daily renewing of your mind, you can test and approve what is God's holy and perfect will. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, and that's, I guess, kind of similar to what we're talking about. And then you just kind of see it, you know, and you see it in other people.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, but it's because it's happening a lot in my life right now, you know, where like the desires of my heart are starting to change again, you know, so.
Yeah, that's good. You just have to keep renewing your mind. Then, like this says, renew your mind, you know, and that got me out of the darkest, one of the darkest times of my life was realizing that I need to renew my mind. And so you do that by getting into the Word and thinking on all the good things that it tells you to think about.
We were talking this morning in James about how your tongue, that you can't bless God on one hand and curse people on the other hand, because both can't come out of the same mouth.
Yeah. It says in verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgive you. It's important that we understand and do things God's way and not ours all the time. If we do it His way, it works.
Well, it's very specific about it in 1 John. That a man says he loves God that he does not see, and doesn't love his brother he does see, but his love is a lie. You know, and he says, how can you say you love God when you don't love your brothers, you know, or sisters or whatever? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's saying, if you say you are, then your love is a lie. God's love is not in you. I mean, for the book of 1 John is very specific about that. And it kind of cuts you to the heart to think about like how you're treating other people. You know what I mean? I get conviction about it every day, like the things that I say to other people. Like, I know when I'm wrong right away. I'm like, dang, man, I shouldn't have said that.
You know? There's life and death in the time.
Yeah.
And it's true.
So how has God showed His love to us?
By forgiving us.
By forgiving us.
Mm-hmm.
Sending His Son. Jesus died on the cross. So let's read verse 25. Chapter 4, verse 25.
Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another.
Okay, so what is this verse, just this one verse, what is this one verse telling us to do?
To be honest with one another.
Okay.
Speak truthfully.
Truthful.
It starts with put away lying.
Right.
So I mean that in and of itself is a put away lying. Yeah.
Put off falsehood.
All right. Verse 26.
Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath.
Go ahead and read verse 27 too, please.
Nor give place to the devil.
Oh, that's all of it.
Okay. Verse 26 and 27.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, good. So, what are we told to do there?
What are we told not to do? Let's do that.
Don't let the sun go down on your head.
Okay. Anger.
Oh, it says, "Do not sin."
Do not sin in your anger.
Right. So, what is the opposite of sinful anger?
Righteous anger.
maybe we'll get away with the anger part. There is righteous anger. But we're talking about sinful anger here.
Calm.
Yeah.
It says, do not sin.
Patience.
Calm.
I don't know where that came from.
Another word. We're talking about your temper.
Self-control.
There you go. Self-control. I like that one.
Just means if you do get angry, don't let the sun go down on it.
Yeah.
When I look at this, I look at it like a start-stop.
Take it right.
like start, stop, don't do, do this,
yep.
don't do this,
exactly.
do this. But, you know, when I got to 26, being angry, it's like, he's saying, he's like, look, you can be angry. You're going to be, we're going to be angry. But not to sin out of that anger is different.
Right.
Not to act on that. That's why I said self-control, because it's it really hit home with me.
Yeah.
In my parentheses here, it says be angry at sin and immorality and injustice and ungodly behavior.
Right. Good. So verse 28, please.
He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need.
Okay, so what is the, finally figured out what word I needed to use. Since it directly it talks about it first, what's the negative side of this conversation that we're having?
Don't steal.
Don't steal. What's the opposite of that?
Giving work.
Work. What's another word that you put over here with stealing that goes along with work? Starts with an L.
Laziness.
Very good. Laziness. Work. What else can we put over here with work in the positive side out of this 28?
Busyness.
Busy share. Or?
Share.
Share.
I wasn't shaking straight.
You can be busy, but not really. All right. So verse 29. Let's look at verse 29.
Not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
All right, so this is a hard one.
I said this heavy.
Yeah. So what's the negative side?
Putting down someone.
Right. Talking bad or putting down people.
Negative reinforcement.
There you go.
He said negative reinforcement.
Foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words.
Corrupt.
Foul language. Talking bad. What are we supposed to do?
Encourage.
Very good. Encourage.
Edify.
I like that word.
What?
Edify. What does it mean?
It means to build someone up.
Right. Build up. There is an I on there, I promise. It's just in between the U and the L.
Bless. Blessing.
Bless. Very good.
Ooh.
Cursing.
If you look up the word edify, you know, Google, it says instruct or improve someone morally or intellectually.
That's cool.
Yeah, I kind of like that word.
I like that. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Google knows things. All right, so the plains to you, if you'd like to read verse 30, please.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
Okay, we were just talking about this. We spent a long time on this particular conversation just a minute ago. What is this idea of grieving the Holy Spirit? I'm going to write it up there. That's the negative.
Well, when we
ignore,
sorrowful.
When
push
we,
away.
He, when we grieve him, he's like, can't believe that you're doing this again. That's grieving, right?
Reject.
Yeah.
Rejection.
And it makes him sorrowful.
Right.
Would you even go as far as to say there is a disconnect or a separation of sort? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that the Holy Spirit leaves you, but the Holy Spirit can't help you if you're going to continually be a terrible person, right?
Well, I think eventually he's going to leave. Because it says also don't quench the spirit somewhere. That's pretty much, if you quench the fire, it fires out.
Yeah, it fires out. Don't start. So that's due to the hardness of your heart, mm-hmm. right? That whole idea, hardness of your heart.
So if you continually do those things that you keep doing that are wrong, I think eventually he will leave.
Doesn't Romans talk about like eventually he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind?
Yes.
Like he'll give you over to your evil passions. Is yes. That's what you want to let you have.
That's what yeah. choice you're going to make.
If that's the choice you want, that's the choice you'll have.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that may happen here, but if we really look at that from a eternity perspective, mm-hmm. That eternity perspective is God saying, hey, you didn't want anything to do with me while you were on earth, and I'm going to allow that choice to continue. You clearly do not want to have anything to do with me for eternity. Right?
So then you're damned for eternity.
Yeah. So what is the positive side of this? Grieving the Holy Spirit, rejection, separation. What is it calling us to do?
Magnify.
Magnify? What else in that scripture is there?
Building up.
Redemption.
Redemption.
Let's see. Something that would bring you joy or
joy
or service.
All right, so that brings us to verse 31 on the other page, and it says this, verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, among every form of malice. What does that mean? Change colors on me because I wrote really big.
Malice is like an evil thought.
An evil thought, yeah. So what are we supposed to not do in all of this conversation right here?
Gossip.
There's a good one.
Fight.
And we're not talking about just getting in the ring and having a good old Friday night boxing match. We're talking a flat out argument, a fight.
Antagonize.
Antagonistic.
Spiteful.
Spite.
Resentment.
All kinds of just misbehavior, right? What's the opposite of this? What are the opposites of this particular verse? What should we be doing?
Patience.
Yeah. Patience.
We already have self-control up there.
Yep. Time. Repeat that. Self-control.
Compassionate.
Temperance.
Compassion. Not everything has to end in a fight, does it? Sometimes it's okay for me to be quiet.
And forgiveness.
And that's where we're going next. So what are we to do? So what are we to do? This is where chapter 4, verse 32 through verses 1 and 2 in chapter 5. I'll go ahead and read those. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as Christ, God, forgave you. Be imitators of God.
Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and the sacrifice to God. First, what are we asked to do?
To be kind and compassionate to one another.
Yeah.
Forgiving each other of everything.
Love others like God has loved you.
As children. You know, like children. Children are innocent and they don't, if someone hurts them, they don't. True young children, they don't think of revenge. They think they get hurt. It hurts their feelings.
Yes.
So I think that's the way that we're to be. We're not to think of revenge. We're to just forgive them.
So here is where our mental health comes in this conversation. Forgiveness is, so we have described on the board, we have all the descriptions of the things that happened to us, I would dare say at least through a 7-day period, right? Some of these are going to happen to you. Maybe all of them are going to happen to you. All depends on who you talk to during the week, right? If you only talk to 2 people, you may only get 3 of these. But the idea here is that we are to continually going to be in our mind. In my mind, I am supposed to be thinking forgiveness.
I think it's, I mean, the way I'm reading it, I could be wrong, it's asking for a lot more than that.
It is.
It's asking us to give up our lives and lay down our lives for people just the way Christ laid down his life for us. That's the way that we should be loving.
Yeah, so God loved us enough.
We should be thinking about others continually.
Continually. And one of the ways that we do that is that we continually challenge ourselves to be a forgiving person. It doesn't mean, let's be very clear, it doesn't mean that I'm telling you that people should just be able to walk all over you. It doesn't mean that you don't have a backbone. It doesn't mean you can't say no. It doesn't mean that you can't have your feelings hurt. It doesn't mean you can't remember things. But when you and when I hold on to specifically this verse before us, which said, don't be bitter, don't be vengeful, don't plan to get back at someone. When we take on this gift that God has given to us of forgiveness and we choose to forgive, whatever the situation was, or whatever happened, whatever event it was, when we choose to forgive, and sometimes we have to do that hourly, daily, weekly, minute by minute, every time they open their mouth, right? Those are real things, but God is challenging us. Paul is challenging us with these words from God that we are to have this attitude of willingness to forgive. And when we have the attitude and we accept this gift that the Holy Spirit's trying to work in us, because again, like I said from the very beginning, we are not normally forgiving people, right? You hurt my wife. And we have a different conversation, right? I mean, I'm just a... But I'm still supposed to be able to forgive. There just may be a different barrier there, right? There may be a different door we have to walk through from now on. I can forgive, but we're going to put some protections around us, right? I mean, those are normal things. We're not asking that we be walked on. We're asking that we have this attitude of forgiveness, that we are willing to not be bitter. We're willing to encourage, be a courageous encourager, like Paul calls for us to be in Philippians. We are to imitate our Father. My favorite, one of my favorites, it's not my only, but one of my favorite verses is verse 1 in chapter 5, and it says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." Remember when we went through the book of Hebrews, we talked about the temple worship, and they would bring in this incense and this fragrance that would go up into heaven for God to smell. It was a fragrant offering. It was something good smelling. How do we not grieve the Holy Spirit? By living in this gift of being willing to forgive. Regardless of the hurt, regardless of the trouble, you don't necessarily have to walk up to them and go, "Hey, you hurt my feelings, I forgive you." That's not what we're talking. This forgiveness is between you and God, and settling in your own heart that you forgive others, just as Jesus has forgiven and God has forgiven us. Isn't it interesting that Jesus went to the cross to die for our sin, and God said, "Anyone who comes to my Son and believes in him, they're washed and clean." Right? They're forgiven. He's already forgiven us through his Son. Our responsibility is to accept that forgiveness. We are ambassadors for God, and therefore we are asked to ask forgiveness. We are to give forgiveness, and we are to live forgiven. Because Satan likes to remind us that we're bad people. Satan likes to remind us of all the bad things we've asked forgiveness for.
And that's one reason why we also need to forgive ourselves.
And yes.
And that's hard to do.
Living forgiven is hard to do. But that's where we take up that every day. And we live forgiven. Because God loves us, and we are to live a life that is forgiven. And realize we are forgiven, and it's okay. I can pick up and I can walk in this direction. I can go a different direction, and it's okay. Living that life. Yes?
I think it's beautiful. It's such a beautiful ending to all of that, and it keeps going, actually. But it's an outward sign to an inward work, regeneration of yourself, like of the Spirit inside of you, and then at the end it's just like point to Christ. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
To think about. I just got a little heart there.
Yeah. Because without
the love, and that brings me joy. It does.
Yeah.
And this last, the whole rest of that book is just.
Just to even get there, you know. Just to even get there. It's just in that letter in particular. There's a lot you go through just to even get there. Still a lot coming, but it's how we react and act and how to the others around us because of the forgiveness and the Holy Spirit that's inside of us.
Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And we thank you for the gift of forgiveness. We thank you that you do forgive. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit with us. Lord, I pray that our group this week would, me included, we would seek ways to be encouraging. we would seek ways to have a attitude of forgiveness, an attitude of courage to live forgiven, an attitude of asking for forgiveness and asking for help. May our love for you grow through our ability to forgive. In Jesus' name, amen.
And isn't it exciting?